This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try.
Welcome to Free Thought Radio. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and we are offering slightly irreverent views, news, music, and interviews, and welcome spring. The vernal equinox was yesterday, Friday, March 20th, and there's nothing religious about that at all.
It's a natural astronomical event, the vernal equinox. I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist. And we are ready for spring up here in Wisconsin. It's been a long, cold winter. This is the March 21st, 2015 edition of Free Thought Radio. Free Thought Radio also broadcasts in Grand Rapids, Michigan, in Bryant, Texas, in Central Missouri, in Milwaukee, in Central New York State, Watkins Glen and Ithaca, and up in Alberta, Canada on CKXU, and on a number of internet stations such as RadioMonterey.com. And the podcast of the show, which goes up the following Monday, has more than 15,000 of you who regularly, religiously, non-religiously listen to our show. So thank you for listening.
Free Thought Radio is the production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, and regular listeners know that that is today the largest national association of atheists and agnostics. We're almost 22,000. We'd really like you to join us so we can at least claim 22. Our goal is 25,000. Don't know if that's realistic by the end of the year, but it's what we'd like. And FFRF works to keep religion out of government, and we do a lot of work because there are so many violations, and we really do need, you know, it's not support so much as it's working with us to end these violations. And we are also trying to fill the gap in promoting reason, free thought, the use of reason in forming your opinion about religion, not credulity, blind faith, dogma. So we think that's a very important also secondary agenda of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. And you can get a sample of our newspaper, Free Thought Today, which tells you what we do with your dues and much more. If you go to FFRF.org and click on the link asking for free info, or just join us today at FFRF.org.
And regular listeners to the show will hear that Annie Laurie is finally getting over her very long, week-long cold.
Well, I'm not really over it. I'm sort of in the middle of it, and I apologize for my voice.
But it's improving, no thanks to the supernatural. Today, we're going to talk with veteran journalist and author David Seidman. He has a new book out for teenagers. It's called What If I'm an Atheist? A Teen's Guide to Exploring a Life Without Religion.
So that'll be fun. And of course, Pew surveys are showing that 1 in 3 young people, starting 15 to about 29, consider themselves non-religious. So it's the fastest growing segment of our non-religious segment in the population, young people. And so how nice that there's going to be a book like this out for teenagers. Now, speaking of books, last week I interviewed you, Dan, about your new book, Life Driven Purpose.
And my very first radio interview about my new book.
And we just had your very first book signing at the Charlie Brooks Auditorium, Free Thought Hall, here in Madison, Wisconsin, the offices of FFRF, the reborn new edition in downtown Madison, Wisconsin. But we also told you how you could enter a drawing to win a free signed copy of Dan's new book, Life Driven Purpose, The Answer to Rick Warren's Purpose Driven Life. That deadline is Wednesday, April 1st. If you want to enter, just send an email to info@FFRF.org. You can click on the link that says Contact Us on every page of our website. If you forget that email, info@FFRF.org, just put the subject heading Free Book or Dan's Book. It'll get to us. Include your name and full mailing address. And be sure to tell us how you listen to Free Thought Radio, what station, or how you listen as a podcaster. And so I'll pick two winners one for broadcast and one for podcast listeners. Of course, we'll do an actual drawing, a blind drawing, and Dan will pick the names.
And then I'll sign the book. And we want to welcome you new members of the Freedom From Religion Foundation who have joined and are joining right now as a result of our national ad on CNN this week and next week featuring Ron Reagan.
Hi, I'm Ron Reagan, an unabashed atheist, and I'm alarmed by the intrusions of religion into our secular government. That's why I'm asking you to support the Freedom From Religion Foundation, the nation's largest and most effective association of atheists and agnostics, working to keep state and church separate, just like our founding fathers intended. Please support the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Ron Reagan, lifelong atheist, not afraid of burning in hell.
So, as we've told you, that lovely ad has been censored by National CBS, National NBC, and MSNBC, and National ABC. But we are experimenting this week and next week with a few spots. You can't afford too many. On CNN, they're coming in various times, the late afternoon and evening shifts. And actually, I'd forgotten the ads were starting on Tuesday, and the phone started ringing off the hook around 4 o'clock. And 4 and 5 o'clock, and I was able to talk to a lot of people. A lot of them had to go to voicemail because we didn't have enough people to answer. But I want to tell you how exciting it was to listen, to hear some of you, if you're listening to this show, who called in. JT in Akron, Ohio, that is literally the best commercial I've ever seen. What was really cute, I picked up the phone, and there was a foreign accent saying, "Where have you been all my life?" That was a man in Johns Creek, Georgia. A. Garcia from Houston, awesome. A woman from Vancouver called. I picked up the phone, and she said, "That's an extremely superior and wonderful ad. Wow." A man in Fallbrook called and said, "That's the best ad I've ever seen." Mike in Cleveland, Tennessee, said, "I'm excited about what you do." A man in Newcastle, Indiana, "I'm a lifelong atheist." And then a man in Elmhurst, New York, he identified as coming from New York City, made me laugh because he said, "I thought I was the only atheist in America." And I said, "Well, there's a lot of us, 1 in 5. Brilliant man named Ron in Nevada. So that was just phone call after phone call on Tuesday night coming in when they happened to come in when I was there. And I got an email this morning from Jane, a member in New York City who hadn't seen the ad before. And she said, "This is the best thing to happen to atheism since Richard Dawkins."
Since the God delusion, yeah.
Since the God delusion. So very nice responses. And we just want to get this ad out there, and we are being censored. But at least it's running for now on CNN. You can help us if you want to get more ads out. We have an advertising designation in our donations. We are also running it on the Daily Show reruns because it's so expensive to do it on the originals. We did do the debut last May on the Colbert Report and Jon Stewart Show just once in May. But they're on the rebroadcast in the morning in March, and then we're adding some of the evening rebroadcasts in April. So you may be watching them, and if you watch Daily Show online, we're also running there. So we're trying to do what we can with the networks that don't censor us. And so look for that show if you're watching CNN at night.
And thank you for joining the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Your membership helps us fight these legal fights. And our legal staff has been very busy. We've had a number of victories. Let's just talk about two of them this week. In the White Oak School District in East Texas, the principal was reading Bible verses over the intercom each morning. FFRF staff attorney Sam Grover sent a letter of complaint on behalf of a student there who heard them and actually recorded them. And at first, the school said they would not stop.
But it's been big news this week. They decided to stop the unconstitutional practice. There's been literally story after story in this area in all the different newspapers in East Texas and a lot of TV coverage. And here are parts of two TV stories on KLTV5 about the controversy. And the first story aired last week.
Faith and law hang in the balance as a Wisconsin organization accuses White Oak ISD of violating the separation of church and state. The organization sent a letter to Superintendent Michael Gilbert stating that the school's principal regularly reads Bible verses during the morning announcements. The foundation says it has proof, recordings of the principal heard here.
"The Lord detests the sacrifice of the wicked, Jesus here.
Doesn't really matter what the majority of the community feels. The Constitution is designed to protect the rights of minorities against the tyranny of the majority.
I think that keeping scripture and prayer in schools is a very important thing, and it should stay a part of our children's right.
The foundation approached the school just 5 months ago after reports that White Oak coaches were leading students in prayer before football games, allegations the school denied.
He's sending a message to everyone in the school district that he is okay with violating the law, an obvious violation of the Constitution that has been directly addressed by the Supreme Court.
Superintendent Michael Gilbert calls the foundation's efforts agenda promoting, and in his blog today he said, "I am fully aware of the practice at the high school and will not pursue any action against our high school principal." Attorney Grover says the foundation hopes there won't be a need for a lawsuit, but with the recordings as their evidence, he feels good about their chances. Julia Janae, KLTV 7 News.
So they said they were not going to stop the practice, but here is the KLTV story reporting the school's change of heart.
A follow-up for you now on a story we brought you last week about scripture in an East Texas high school. School administrators with White Oak ISD tell us they will no longer include biblical readings in their morning announcements. This decision comes after the Freedom From Religion Foundation filed a complaint with the school district after they say a White Oak student reached out to them complaining of the morning Bible readings. Just this morning, the school's principal told us they would no longer continue the morning readings, a decision the Freedom From Religion Foundation is touting as a win.
This is a victory not just for our nation's constitution, but for any student or faculty member or parent associated with the school district who practices a minority religion or no religion at all.
Now, that just to remind you, this principal was reading Bible verses over the intercom in his public school every morning, and there was a decision directly speaking to that by the U.S. Supreme Court. It's called Abington versus Shemp. Ellery Shemp was the 17-year-old who started that complaint back in the 50s. It went to the Supreme Court and was decided in
61, I think.
60? No, I think it was
or
63. And he's a lifetime member of FFRF. He's now a retired scientist, and I don't think we corresponded with him about it. But how appalling that there should even be that kind of necessary follow-up for such firm language by the Supreme Court. And here's a news story from WDTV5 in West Virginia about an FFRF victory stopping, you guessed it, more school prayer.
Today we reached out to people in the community about a letter from the Board of Education that was recently given to principals of public schools in Harrison County following a complaint from the Freedom From Religion Foundation. The letter says that the board received a complaint after a high school athletic team in the county led a team in prayer and asked other teams to join. The U.S. Supreme Court has repeatedly struck down prayer in public schools, citing the separation of church and state. Students are still allowed to pray on their own, but teachers, coaches, and anyone else in the Board of Education isn't allowed to lead a prayer.
I'm not a fan of that. I believe that anybody who wants to say prayer should have that right.
Others agreed with that decision and said that no child should feel pressured to participate.
Because if you're in school and the school is directing prayer, you feel pressure to pray yourself, and you shouldn't have pressure to do that.
Harrison County student athletes say they believe that many of their teammates will continue to pray.
So the issue is not whether students can pray, but whether the school itself can direct and organize the prayer. That's what our organization is fighting. Not freedom of religion, but we want to have freedom from religion in our government. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. This is Free Thought Radio. Stay tuned. Later in today's show, we're going to talk with the journalist and author David Seidman about his new book for teenagers, What If I'm an Atheist? A Teen's Guide to Exploring a Life Without Religion. Stay tuned for more Free Thought Radio.
You may not believe it, but I don't believe in miracles anymore. And when I think about it, I don't believe I ever did for sure.
all the things I've said in songs, all the purple rose you bought from me. Reality's just black and white, the sentimental things that write never meant that much to me. I used to be the main express, all steam and whistles heading west, picking up my pain from door to door, riding on the storyline, furnace burning overtime. But this train don't stop, this train don't stop, this train don't stop there.
This train don't stop there anymore. That, of course, is Elton John. This is Free Thought Radio. I'm Dan Barker. Elton John said, "You may not believe it, but I don't believe in miracles anymore."
And I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and this week is Elton John's birthday. He was born March 25th, 1947, just a little older than you, Dan. And he has come out against religion. His train don't stop at religion. Mainly, he said, because religion has always tried to turn hatred against gay people. Religion promotes the hatred and spite against gays.
So happy 68th birthday, Elton John. We'll hear some of his music between segments today. And it's the birthday of another non-believing songwriter this week, Stephen Sondheim. He was born March 22nd, 1930. In his song Comedy Tonight, Sondheim said, "Nothing with gods, nothing with fate. Open up the curtain, comedy tonight."
And two well-known feminists, one historical, one contemporary, were both born on March 25th. Contemporary is Gloria Steinem, born in 1934, the journalist who helped found Ms. Magazine and helped to spark the modern free thought or modern feminist movement. She was convinced that freedom would come through individual women telling the truth. She defines feminism as the belief that women are full human beings. And Matilda Joslyn Gage was born March 25th, 1826. And she was a founding member and one-time president of the National Woman Suffrage Association and worked very closely with Elizabeth Cady Stanton and Susan B. Anthony. And you can learn a lot more about Matilda Joslyn Gage in the anthology that I edited of Women Freethinkers, the only anthology of Women Freethinkers, Women Without Superstition, No Gods, No Masters. Matilda Joslyn Gage was indignant over the wrongs inflicted upon one half of humanity by the other half in the name of religion. She addressed a major statement, Woman, Church, and State, at a suffrage convention in 1878, and by popular response, she turned this address into a book by the same name, Woman, State, and Church, Woman, Church, and State, 1893, an important documentation from the early days of woman-hating abuses stemming from such religious doctrines as celibacy, which include the witch hunts. During the ages, no rebellion has been of like importance with that of woman against the tyranny of the church and state. None has had its far-reaching effects, Matilda Joslyn Gage wrote. We note its beginning. Its progress will overthrow every existing form of these institutions. Its end will be a regenerated world.
Like you, Annie Laurie, a free-thinking feminist. And this week is the birthday of Richard Dawkins. He was born March the 26th. In 1941, the evolutionary biologist, the free thought champion. His first really famous book was The Selfish Gene, in which he coined the word meme, and The Blind Watchmaker, and many other books, A Climbing Mountain Improbable, my favorite, Unweaving the Rainbow, and of course in 2006, his iconoclastic book, The God Delusion, in which he was hoping to turn believers into atheists, and it actually worked. So happy 74th birthday, Richard Dawkins.
And we also have a young actress, Keira Knightley, who identifies as non-religious, born the same day as Richard Dawkins, but quite a bit later, March 26th, 1985. Keira Christina Knightley was being interviewed by David Cronenberg, the director, who's also an atheist, and they both agreed they were atheists. Couldn't get elected if you're an atheist today as president. And so you can learn more about these famous freethinkers at FFRF's Free Thought of the Day webpage, but please don't plagiarize it.
So stay tuned for more Free Thought Radio. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. And we're going to have an interview with a journalist, a veteran journalist and author, David Seidman, S-E-I-D-M-A-N. He's just written a brand new book for teenagers. It's called What If I'm an Atheist? A Teen's Guide to Exploring a Life Without Religion. Stay tuned for more Free Thought Radio.
Beware of dogma. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
David Seidman is a veteran journalist. He was an editor at the Los Angeles Times newspaper syndicate. He's a magazine journalist, a biographer, a comedy writer, a novelist. He's written dozens of books for teenagers, including the book called Teens in Iran and a book called Fantastic Four, the photo novel. And he's also written books for adults, such as the book called The Longevity Source Book and All Gone, Things That Aren't There Anymore.
And so we were very pleased to get a review copy of his newest book, which is called What If I'm an Atheist? A Teen's Guide to Exploring a Life Without Religion. And this just came out this month. It's Simon Paul's, which is division of Simon & Schuster. Kirkus Review calls it a superbly written, smart, and sensitive guidebook. We just got it, and so Dan and I haven't really had a chance to fully read it. We're sorry about that, but we're really looking forward to learning
more about it. I skimmed through a lot of the good chapters in there.
So welcome to Free Thought Radio, David Seidman.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
So why a book about atheism for teenagers?
I guess the question would be, why not? A while back, I was trying to determine what my next book should be, and since I like writing nonfiction for teenagers, I was looking at the bestseller list, and so many of the bestsellers in nonfiction for teenagers were about religion and spirituality, and I thought, well, gee, what about the atheist kids? And then I thought, yeah, well, why not? And as I started looking around, I found that there were no such books. And I don't mean no such books like that on the bestseller list. There was no nonfiction directed at atheist and agnostic teenagers at all. And I said, well, heck, that's a book. That's got to be done. And so I started work.
Well, with one in three teenagers now identifying as non-religious, it's certainly high time. We knew another journalist who was toying with the idea of writing this book. I won't say who it was. And then for some reason, she changed her mind because I was encouraging her to do it. And it's definitely filling a hole there in the book market. And so what is your background? Were you a teenage atheist?
No, I was raised Jewish. And as it happens, that was very good training, I suppose, for this book, because I know vividly what it is like to be in a minority. I mean, I remember being a kid growing up, and every November and December, as you know, every time you turn on the TV or you look in a store window or you look at a newspaper or magazine ad, it seemed like the whole world was encouraging everybody to celebrate Christmas. And I think almost every Jewish parent, or a lot of them, knows what it's like to have your kids come home and say, why can't we have a Christmas tree? And so the idea of the whole world, it seems, encouraging you to believe something when you just don't, and the feeling of being in a minority and alienated, even defiant about, no, I'm not going to believe this. I identify so strongly with that. And then as I came into adulthood and becoming more and more secular, less and less believing what I was told when I was a kid, I've gone through that kind of deconversion experience that a lot of teenagers and adults have gone through. So it just seemed like a very good fit.
The cover of your book has looks like it's a chalkboard, a blackboard at school, and it says, what if I'm an, and there's a checklist. There's like six things you can check. Muslim, Jew, Hindu, Christian, other, and then atheist. It's like what you check off on a form. And so the cover of your book checks off atheist. And that would be a rare thing to find on a form, wouldn't it?
You know, that's one of the things does get forgotten a lot, that the atheist or agnostic or just unreligious option is there. I read a lot of history, I've written some history, and it seems like throughout an awful lot of American and world history, the idea that there are people who simply don't believe gets not so much attacked as simply forgotten. And so, yeah, it should be. I mean, I was very surprised and pleased when President Obama, in his first inaugural, mentioned atheists alongside religious people. I think that's the first time any president has done that, as opposed to simply assuming, well, everybody's got some religion. So, yeah, the idea of making that front and center and bold and as viable an option as any religion, I think that's a good thing. And I didn't design that cover, but the designer, I thought, did just a smashing job doing it that way.
So is this book assuming that the reader, the teen reader, grew up in a religious home? Are you kind of assuming that they don't have any support at all? Or is it, can it be read equally by some a kid growing up in a secular home?
I tried to make it as wide ranging as possible, so there are definitely chapters all about what it's like to grow up in a religious home and deconvert. There is a chapter dedicated to what if you were raised without religion to begin with.
Chapter 7,
Yeah, that's right, yeah. So I tried to cover everything I possibly could.
And then you have a section in there about, it's almost like, how do you tell your parents that you're gay? How do you come out? Well, how do you tell your parents and how do you tell your family that you don't believe what they believe anymore? That's, what is that, chapter 8 and 9?
Yeah, and that was from, this book, like every book, changed as I was coming from the very first idea to the final, the final printing. But that was in there from the start, because that seems to be a central problem for a lot of teenagers. I can't hide this anymore. It's important to me, or I love my parents and I don't want to be a hypocrite and a liar to them. And so that chapter, I felt that just had to be in there, no matter what the final version of the book was going to be.
Did you interview kids, or did you just write from a perspective as a non-believer who's researched the topic, or how did you do that?
Well, I interviewed primarily by email a lot of teenagers, a lot of people who are college age, so they know the teenage experience very recently but have a little bit of perspective on it. I also went online, and there are a lot of, I suppose you'd have to call them confessionals, by teenagers saying, okay, I'm a teenager and a teenage unbeliever, and this is what I'm going through. Or, you know, I'm starting to doubt my faith. What do I do now? Or I was talking to my parents and, they yelled or they cried or they really surprised me by being accepting. So I did do a lot of interviews, but I went to every source I could possibly find.
Now, I have been told by more than one gay atheist young person that coming out as gay, the parents accepted it, but the final straw was when they said they didn't believe in religion. You know, I don't know if that is typical or not. You know, it's just anecdotal, but they seem to be saying that the religion issue was, and I think that makes sense today, that the religion issue is actually bigger because there's less acceptance of atheists today than there is of gays.
You know, that may be. It's hard to know because there are all kinds of different polls out there. There certainly is a lot of anti-atheist feeling. I mean, and this, I was just reading, this is something that what I figured would be of interest to younger people, not necessarily teenagers, but Oklahoma is talking about or has banned atheist marriages just the other day, and I thought,
there was a vote in one of the houses.
That's right. But yeah, I have a quote in the book about a young woman who said, when I came out to my parents as bisexual, they could handle that. When I came out to them as an atheist, oh, that was the real problem. I don't know if that is a common thing. I don't have the resources of a big polling organization behind me.
Well, there is a very significant poll, and I've talked about it before on this show, which is the University of Minnesota poll, which is basically longitudinal, 2006, that compared polls about outsider groups from the 1960s until 2006, and they showed that all of the outside groups, we're talking about African American, Muslim, women, gays, Arabs, all had fared very well in changes in social acceptance, but atheists were still at the bottom of the totem pole.
It's improving, but they're still at the bottom.
I mean, it'd be nice to see another poll soon because things are changing, but I think that that's pretty definitive. The negativity toward atheists is really strong.
It is out there. I think it's getting a little bit better as more and more people do say, hey, I don't believe in God, and are willing to say it publicly, say it to their families. And I think part of it, I'm just speculating, maybe the people have come to understand that being gay is like being straight or like being black or like any ethnicity. You're born with it. Whereas they think of atheism as a choice, and, you know, I think for a lot of people, well, I do know that for a lot of people that I researched, it was a matter of a very long intellectual process of study and thinking about it. It wasn't, well, this is something that is part of me, the way, like the color of my eyes or the shape of my fingerprints. And so I can see where parents would say, look, I understand you're gay. You can't, even if they're very conservative religiously, you're gay, you can't help that. I don't like it, but I get it. But atheist, no. That's your fault.
You're choosing sin. And it is an intellectual conclusion, and it should be intellectually respectable. But, of course, today, we're not quite there yet in society. Well, we are talking with David Seidman about his important new book, A Teen's Guide to Exploring a Life Without Religion. What if I'm an Atheist? And we'll come back and we'll talk about some of the nuts and bolts advice in your book, David.
Thanks.
I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. This is Free Thought Radio, and stay tuned for more.
Protect the First Amendment. It protects you. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And we're talking with David Seidman. His last name is spelled S-E-I-D-M-A-N. David Seidman, an editor, journalist, and author, about his new book called What If I'm an Atheist? A Teen's Guide to Exploring a Life Without Religion. And the book has five parts into it. Part one is What is an Atheist? With a number of chapters. Part two is Living Life as an Atheist. Part three is Arguing Atheism. And part four, there's four parts. Part four is The Rest of Your Life. So, David, I was intrigued by part three, some of the arguments that teens come up with, including people telling them, well, you're just too young to have thought about this, or you're just rebelling, or you're going through a phase. So what advice do you give to teenagers about confronting these kind of condescending arguments?
Well, the one about you're too young is actually, it sort of answers itself. Because a number of teenagers have said that, well, if I'm too young to decide that there is no God, then aren't I too young to decide that there is a God? Huh. And so people who bring up the too young argument, it's kind of self-defeating. As far as the issue of, well, you're just rebelling, that's a little bit tougher, but the point of that one is that people are presuming to know the state of a teenager's mind. And last time I heard, telepathy is not a common skill.
Yeah, but what's wrong with rebelling anyway? I mean, we live in a country that proudly rebelled against the Lord.
This is true. And as an adult, I could easily make that argument. As a teenager, it's a little tougher, because a teenager who says, what's wrong with rebelling, is going to get a lot of adults annoyed.
Huh. Well, so I mean, there might be some teenagers that are just posturing. They're trying
there
it on,
are.
And maybe they won't stay an atheist. But after all, that is not uncommon as a teenager to rebel, is it?
No, that's perfectly normal. But that's why for the rebellion section, you can, it's not hard to refute, because you can, if you're a teenager, you can say, wait a minute, I'm not rebellious. You know me. I'm in school. I make the grades. I clear the table when I'm asked, that kind of thing. Or if somebody is saying, well, you're not rebellious in general. Okay. You're rebelling against God. Well, how can I rebel against somebody I don't even believe in?
Mm-hmm.
So there are, as I say, there are ways that people have, countered this argument. I worked pretty hard trying to find the most common arguments and the most common and useful counter arguments, because I knew teenagers were going to run into them, and so I just wanted them to be ready.
Well, if the family is a Protestant family, they could at least point out that the Protestants rebelled. They were rebelling against, the what they thought was false.
Now, here's you go ahead.
Well, again, growing up Jewish, the whole history of Judaism over almost from day one is, oh, guys, all of those gods you believe in, sorry, we don't buy it.
Yeah.
That's even as secular as I am, I'm very proud of that aspect of my heritage and my ancestors. They were the people who stood up and said, you're probably going to kill us for this, and often that's what happened, but we say, no, forget it, it's not ours.
Well, and so as the cliche goes, atheists just believe in one less God than everyone else.
Exactly.
Now, you're going through a phase. What if some teenager's listening to this show and that's what they hear from an adult in their life?
Well, part of it is the idea of, again, telepathy, or in this case, clairvoyance. You say, I'm going through a phase. That means that you figure the phase is going to end. You can see the future. That's great. Can you tell me what stocks to buy or what horses to bet on? Nobody can see the future. And also, if you're going through a phase, they expect that phase to end. And so they don't even, the people who are objecting, why are you bothered to object? You know, if it's just a phase, it's going to end. I'm going to return to God eventually on my own. Why are you in my face about it?
I was told that in my 30s when I left the ministry.
Oh, yeah.
People told me, you're going through a phase, you'll be back.
Or you hear midlife crisis as well, that kind of thing. So I guess it can happen at different ages.
Well, the phase has lasted 30 years so far, so I don't know.
How do you turn the light off once you've turned it on is my question. Well, we have about 2 minutes left. What else can you say to a teenager who might be listening, seeking a little advice and comfort about being an atheist?
Well, the book has two basic ideas that I did not spell out explicitly, but they were always on my mind as I was working on the book. And one is, there's nothing wrong with you. Well, okay, there's nothing wrong with you if you don't believe in God. You may be a jerk in other ways. I don't know. But there is nothing wrong with you. And second is, you are not alone. In the first chapter, and I wanted this right up front, I pointed out how many millions and millions of atheists and agnostics and other unbelievers there are, that so many of them, the largest age group are young ones, people under 30 and even under 18. There are simply more, as a percentage of the group, more unbelievers who are young than who are older. That in certain parts of the country, in certain parts of the world, you can find more of them. There are, in a sense, I don't call them this, but there are atheist havens, whether it's Vermont or Switzerland, or Sweden, rather, where there are a lot of atheists and unbelievers, and nobody makes any kind of big deal about it. And there are celebrity atheists. And also, along the lines of, you are not alone, one of the biggest arguments that a lot of religious people have against atheism is that it's immoral. Well, I have a whole chapter on, and not only do I have that in the arguments section of the book, but I also have a whole chapter on, all right, let's look at this.
Well, listen, we are out of time.
Oh, I thought you said we had
no, we have another minute.
I'm sorry.
The only other thing is, we were talking about this during the break, if there are any bookstores that would like to have me come and do a talk or do a signing, I would absolutely love to.
You do tell teenagers, high schoolers, and college students how they could maybe win some money by entering one of the contests that we offer
at the Freedom from Religion Foundation
for students, essay contests about their lack of belief.
So is there a website? Do you have a website, David Seidman?
Yes, it is. This is coming as a shock to people. It's whatifimanatheist.com.
Which is the title of the book.
Which is the title of the book.
So that's how people can get in touch with you if they want to invite you for a book signing or they want more information about your book, and it's in the bookstores now.
Yes, or they can go to the website of the they can contact the publisher, Simon & Schuster. There are two companies involved, Simon & Schuster and Beyond Words. They can contact them. They can contact me via the website.
So that's What If I'm an Atheist? A Teen's Guide to Exploring a Life Without Religion. Thank you so much, David Seidman.
Thank you. This was fun.
Thank you. And we also want to thank our pinch hitter, our engineer today, Mike Pilz, for filling in for Dave McCann, who's out reporting on basketball somewhere. You can find out all you need to know about Free Thought Radio at our website, ffrf.org/radio.
Ask for more information at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. Support Free Thought Radio's broadcasts and podcasts by becoming a member. We are the nation's largest association of freethinkers, and we do a lot of scholarships for teenagers. Ask for a sample of our newspaper at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021 and leave your name and address. Tune in next week for more rational radio and blasphemous broadcasting.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.
I hope someday.